Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
What's up? What's up? You know, what's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the other show, Todd Double Holdings, with you. And what is going on? Some weird stuff happening around the old markets these days. Interesting enough, we continue to go higher or try to go higher. And, you know, we've seen a pattern the last couple of weeks that has simply been ugly, brutal, garbage, and hard to trade. But the intraday stuff has been fine. The intraday trading has been actually pretty good, especially in the in our futures, you know, the short-term futures, and our new software is killing it. But the overall fear underlying the market seems to be a little bit strange. And what I'm talking about and what I mean is if you saw Wednesday, okay, you had gold continues to rally. So it's now rallied about $60 off the bottoms in an ugly-looking pattern. But it's still up. So, again, we're not going to fight it and say that it's not. I mean, we're not. We love gold long term. We're not big fans here. But that's a more of a fear asset in many instances. Why is gold going straight up? The bond market has exploded to the upside again. Now, again, when I say exploded, I don't want to get, you know, too crazy. I always hate when they do that on TV. But the bonds have rallied almost 2 full points, pushing rates down again. Okay, now, what does that mean? Well, I mean, it doesn't mean a ton because we know, you know, what rates are and what they're going to do, or what we think they should do. But it does suggest that there could be some underlying issues in the market. Okay, now, again, I'm not predicting. I'm not telling you to sell short. Again, as I've said all along, this is not the market to really get that involved in. But all of a sudden, you know, the 10-year notes were just 2.5%, and now they're, you know, 2.4, which is a pretty big move. And the 30s were almost 2.9 or two, almost 3, and now they're 2.78 or 2.74, excuse me. So I have to wonder what is underlying the problem in this market, because I think there is something that is troubling the market, even the volatility in it, even the VIX. Now, again, it's hard to get too excited because of the lack of action and lack of volume. But even the VIX, you know, has kind of climbed up a little bit from its depth. Now, that's the first sign. So, you know, we had bottoms, let's say around 9. If we make 9 the bottom of the VIX index, you know, we're at 10. But you've been, if you take a look at the chart, you'll see that it has held relatively well on the bottom and then tried to rally. So those are three things that make you wonder. You just kind of got to go, what does it mean? And, you know, that's there's, you know, one of the things we do know for a fact is that, you know, many of the big guys, many of the commercial traders, you know, many of the big banks, they kind of have an idea of what's going on behind the scenes. And if there is something going on, which I believe there might be, then they're kind of prepping for it, and you're kind of starting to see it show up in other areas. So the concern I have is looking at the bond market, which is rallying, which it shouldn't be. Okay, and again, I shouldn't say it shouldn't be because it is, but again, based on everything we're being told by our great leaders. Okay, everything we're being told by the government reports is how good the economy is. And, of course, I still don't believe it, right? I mean, you know, obviously, let me be straight. I don't believe it myself. But, you know, you would think that the bonds would be selling off like crazy. You would think that the interest rates would be going higher if the economy is in such good shape. So it's not. That just more proves my overall theory. All right. But there's things here that just don't make a lot of sense. And that being one of them. So are we, you know, and again, it doesn't mean you can get short here. It just means that it's something to pay attention to. So as we wind down to the end of the year, you know, we're down to one trading day left, which is tomorrow, Friday, all right, for the year. Now, you know, does it mean anything? I don't think we'll see anything major. I don't know that we'll see anything major in the next couple of days, okay? You know, I think that, you know, next week's going to be more of a get back, get acclimated, and we'll see how it works. Now, again, if we go back to 2016, all right, we had that big ugly stretch from, you know, the beginning of January. I think it was the worst 11-day start in history or something. I mean, something ridiculous. And made a low, and actually the low of this move, which was February 11th of 2016. So, you know, where are we and where do we go? And again, this is, you cannot predict the future outcome. But I can say this, there are so many things that should be of concern from an economy standpoint. Now, we know that the economy and the stock market are so far apart from each other most of the time, and even now probably more than ever, that we have to be more concerned about what may happen going into the future. But at the end of the day, you got to be just understanding that, you know, we're going to get some sort of sell-off at some point. But we're not going to say it's going to be today or tomorrow. I'm a big believer that it's better to let it start and jump in than try to figure out when it's going to be. Because we can go still higher, and not just a couple of points, but, you know, we can go to 25, 26, 27,000 in the Dow before we sell off and still be in a bad position. I mean, I think that gold is in a horrible chart pattern right now, but it's still going up. So, you know, if you're short it, like I happen to be in the short term, it's not very comfortable. So I think, again, these are things that are extremely important. And this whole crypto space has got to sort itself out as well as to what's going to happen. So I think there's a lot of things to think about, but I don't think there's not a lot to do. Okay, I hope that makes sense. There's a lot to think about, but not a lot to do. And certainly putting your capital at risk in the market today, you know, to be short, the overall index is not the way to play it. Right now, the way to play this market is to kind of observe it until we can get a solid footprint. Now, again, individual stocks are always different because we never know. But in the meantime, you know, there's a lot going on in this crypto space as well. And, you know, tomorrow I'm interviewing the world's first cryptocurrency bank. Okay. So that'll be interesting and it should be fun, you know, to talk to them because, again, you know, as they say, this crypto space is real and it's spectacular in certain ways. Again, obviously, if you missed part of the boat, there's things to look at, but I wouldn't get too crazy here. But yeah, so tomorrow, make sure you tune in tomorrow because we will be talking cryptocurrencies with a cryptocurrency bank. And of course, don't forget about my high school investing program. Yeah, it's highschoolinvesting.com. Certainly go check it out. See what you think. But also, what I'm going to do with it is those who help us out at patreon.com/BubbaTrading, you will get access. You'll get a username and a password, and you can actually get some free education that for helping us out with a donation at patreon.com/BubbaTrading. In the meantime, libertytalk.fm is where you get to download the show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge. And of course, we kicked it once again in our football pick, so we're happy about that. And that also has the Sporting Edge at libertytalk.fm. And lastly, you know, daily updates. You know, I do a daily update every day after the close. I email it to you for free. All you have to do is go to bubbatrading.com and sign up for it, and you'll get it emailed to you, a little video. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm coming right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back, my friends, to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, things that look wrong here. And again, this is not the green light to go out and, you know, blow your brains out, right? I mean, you know, again, we can see one thing, but until there's proof, we can't do much of anything. And I think this is the big thing that we have to sit back and wait for, is for the things to happen. And I think that, you know, I don't believe any of the numbers we get from the government. How's it? I'll put that out there first. I think that the mutts that talk about them are bad, because, you know, I heard something interesting on Wednesday that said, okay, well, you know, the report was softer than we think, but it'll be revised. Well, why do we always have to have revisions? That's another thing that always troubles me, is revisions. What is the point? Why can't they get the number right in the first place? Why do they always have to be revised? Can anybody tell me that answer? I mean, is the report not just the report? Is it subject to interpretation? I mean, again, the reports are garbage anyways. You know, for example, the Michigan sentiment survey is based on 5,000 people. Okay, now, I think that's just a small percentage of Chicago. I mean, so you're going to represent the United States with the University of Michigan sentiment survey? You know, I think that there's too many things that are no longer valid. I think very much like the Dow, not, you know, if we look at the Dow Jones Industrials Average, okay, is there any industrials left in the Dow Jones Industrial Average? All right. The average itself is antiquated. All right. The way we look at things is antiquated. You know, nobody accounts for it. It's amazing how none of the people account for the growth or the change in the way that we do business. You know, that's what I find to be more interesting, and which is why I take less stock in the reports to begin with, not to mention that I think they're horse manure anyways. You know, it's the same old story. You know, try to report things that are, you know, that make it look a little bit better. And my always question is why? Why can't we just get it straight and then deal with it from there? And I think that's an issue that has become, you know, even more prevalent with the speed that the information comes up. And, you know, I'm wondering how we can even think about the reports that they show, because they're never the same and they always change them. And it's like they get the burst and then they do something different. You know, this is the whole reporting sector, which bothers me because they're not real numbers. At least earnings numbers are real numbers. Now, you know, I think that when you look at earnings, which is another horse, you know, BS number, only because of the expectations. You know, market expectations are great and understanding them is great. But the real problem is that companies get rewarded for subpar performance, but because they beat expectations. Well, certainly, you know, I've used this example before, I believe, but, you know, if you're going on a blind date, okay, and, you know, the male or female, doesn't matter, and the person who's fixing you up says, well, the person's mean, not nasty, and ugly, right? So your expectations are lower, right? So you have a better chance of being happy versus if they tell you they're handsome or beautiful or whatever, then, you know, your expectations are too high. It's, you know, when you go to a restaurant, everybody tells you how good the restaurant is or how good the movie is. And you say, oh, that wasn't very exciting. And that's what happened. Listen, it's human nature. Same as trading, same as the markets. So when you lower expectations, it makes the springback all that much better. And that's where I find, you know, a lot of issues. This is where the function of the numbers and the function of the marketplace is not incorrect, because the market is always right, but where I find it to be troubling. And I'm against when we have our pundits cheerleading the market. Okay. And not because for me, because I don't care. I could care less. I could make money off of their cheerleading. But I think that it does a lot of damage, in my opinion, to the very casual investor who hears something and takes it for fact and believes in it, when in fact it's not really necessarily what they think it is. And that is where many, many people, many, many innocent bystanders get trapped in the thought process that they're getting the square information from those that are reporting it. And we all know that A, depending on who's reporting the number, there's always a reason for a number to be reported in a certain way. Okay. Now, I'm wondering, you know, why we just can't get straight numbers. Okay. I'm wondering why we just can't get the actual numbers, why we have to build in these expectations to what they should be versus just getting them to what they are. And you know, again, this goes back to the same as the, you know, we talked about this last week, but the cattle on feed report that came out last Friday, all right, come out of Friday after the close, gives farmers and producers and speculators 3 days to fester about what's going on. And of course, exactly what happened, what we thought would happen. We thought it was already priced in and the markets would rally. And all they've done is rally all week this week. All right. Now, I was hoping, obviously, I was begging for a big sell-off so I could step in and buy. But, of course, that didn't happen. But my simple point is that we just we can't seem to, you know, get away from the minutia and the garbage of the people that report the information. And, you know, again, we know for a fact that TV networks, they want stronger stock markets. We all want stronger stock markets, but they want them. Why? Because it's better for ratings. I guarantee you that not one of them that operates has a clue of how the markets work. Okay. You know, and you listen to the way they try to spin the tail. And I think the spin is typically shaded to the bullish side because that is better for ratings. Cause you know, if the markets are going up and your 401k is going up, you're a lot more likely to be watching and cheering on the market yourself. But I do believe that that does a disservice to the actual investors. And I believe that this is where many will get trapped. And this is, of course, the whole spewing of now that, you know, everything's great and we're going to get this great growth. Well, if we're going to get this great growth, let's go back to what I talked about when we opened the show, which is why are interest rates going up? I mean, going down. Okay. If we're in such great shape, then interest rates should be much higher than they are right now. That's the sign of a growing economy is higher interest rates, not anything else. Because the more demand for money means that they can raise the rates, which means the banks can make their spread, which means that we're getting some actual real growth. Okay. And we're not getting that. And I think that's the biggest issue that I can see and that pisses me off because I don't want to be misled. I don't want to be told something that isn't factual. I'd rather deal with it. But of course, we live in this fantasy land of the Federal Reserve and their phony Ponzi scheme that they continue to try to perpetrate against us. And we are the suckers in the Ponzi scheme. Just make no mistake about that. Okay? Because we're the ones who pay the debt. We're the ones who are going to get paid with the inflation, all the things that we talk about all the time. And yet, you know, we just don't get it. And I think that's another problem that we should be trying to address versus letting it slide by. Now, I do think that the cryptocurrency world is a world of revolt and revolution, and I think that's why it's gaining in popularity. Obviously, we do think the Bitcoin's probably a little bit bubblish, but again, at the end of the day, there's going to be some around, and they're going to be here to stay. And if you tune in tomorrow, you'll get to hear the first cryptocurrency bank talk to me for the show, and we're going to talk about all these questions that I always ask out here. I'm going to ask them. So make sure you tune in tomorrow for the world's first cryptocurrency bank. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, LibertyTalk.fm is my station. It's the only station you actually need. We've got plenty of news and input 24 hours a day. In the meantime, you can download the show there every single day, and you get the Sporting Edge there as well. And I think that, you know, again, you should help me out because I'm trying to get to 1 million downloads. So let's go step it up. And don't forget to get my daily update, which is Bubba's Daily Update, which comes out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday right after the close. And, of course, I give you what I saw that day and what I expect for tomorrow. And, of course, always great to have it. It is free. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com, and a little box pops up. You sign up for it, and boom, you're there, you're in. And you get the email starting the next day or maybe that day, depending on what time you sign up. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop out here for a break. We'll be right back with more of The Bubba Show and a visit with John Jenkinson at Rural Rally Radio. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, at CNN, CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Yeah, that whistle is 10 o'clock.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, as we run over to Market Rally Radio and John Jenkinson. Here we go.
To Todd Horowitz with Bubba Trading. Good morning, Todd. How are you this morning?
What do you say, John? Good morning to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Well, the markets, they are just slowed down to a very quiet crawl right now, haven't they?
Well, we're calling it the grinding halt of nothing to do and just sit back and watch, because even the reports, as you just mentioned, you would have thought that that would have been a fairly bearish report. And of course, we went basically straight up. So again, this is one of the things one of the reasons I don't really pay much attention. And in fact, I was having guys buy calls into that report because, again, it pretty much had been priced in already.
Interesting. Let's focus here on the grains for just a little bit. Another case here, a very, very quiet trade. Not a lot to move this market, and some pretty wild, erratic swings. We saw beans post big gains yesterday, and the fundamentals haven't changed.
No, but I mean, again, John, you know, you get to a point where they just punished them last week and took them down almost every single day. You're going to get what's known in the business as a dead cat bounce, and this looks to be a little bit of a dead cat bounce, a little short covering. You know, if we can't get back up above, you know, 985, we're probably going lower. And again, I think that brings 920 or so into play, and that would be, you know, somewhat of a concern as we watch and see what's going on, because the overall action is not very pretty. And I think it's going to be a real challenge here, depending on what happens. Now, a lot of that could change, because the beans could ride along with the others, because I think the others are going higher, and I'm a buyer. But unless we can see some equity selling, and that would bring some new money into the grains, I think that the soybeans probably have a little bit of trouble here.
Todd, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago you and I were visiting a little bit, and I think that you mentioned something about seasonally, we may get a little bit of a bounce in some of these grains at this time of year, rolling from 1 year into the next. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. And of course, you know, we might have seen, you know, a little bit in as little as it was, we might have seen some in corn and wheat already. And I think now we're basically just on the, you know, let's hope they hold up here and don't break down going into the last couple of days, because again, it's going to be awfully quiet and there's going to be very little to do. And, you know, the only thing that could happen is a big order coming on one side or the other, somebody trying to take a shot or break the technicals. And of course, that could create a little bit of a stir. But I really don't see that unless there's some major event that nobody knows about right now. I think we sit here and we vacillate within a couple of cents either way. And, you know, I wouldn't even put any stock into it. I wouldn't look at it. I don't really want to watch it even.
What about the end user? Are they sitting here watching this market just waiting for some kind of a break that they can jump in and buy? If that were to happen, that would give us kind of a floor, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, I actually think we do have a floor in corn and wheat. I think that those would be like almost, if, you know, as an equity trader as well, you know, I'm looking at corn and wheat as almost equities that I can buy for the long term. And I am buying them, and I'm going to hold them, because, again, that's what I'm telling my farmers and producers is, it's, if you can, you just hold on to them, because, again, you're going to see better prices. We're not going to continue at planting stuff that is going to be well below our cost. It's just not going to happen. You know, at some point, you have to make a decision. So that's going to create either a shortage or a reason to buy. And, again, a lot of this ties back into just the general global markets and equities. And, you know, as long as everybody's so happy with equities and knows that they never can go down again, they're going to continue to try to get the return there. And, of course, we all know how that story ends.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned yesterday on TV when you were visiting with us that a little bit of a bounce in the VIX index, that fear, that gauge that basically tells us the fear on Wall Street a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's really not, unfortunately, there's not a lot of fear. And the reason I say unfortunately is just because that takes away, without fear, there's really not much trade. And so we're seeing this limp to the finish line. You know, will the Dow make one more charge at 25,000? Possibly and probably. But there is not really enough volatility in really any product around the globe other than Bitcoin. And even Bitcoin is slowing down some of its volatility. And this is just an overall complacency figure that really makes you kind of nervous generally, because this would indicate that when the street becomes too complacent, there's only one way to go after that, and that would be obviously much lower, which wouldn't hurt the grain markets, but that would be something that would be hurting some individual investors.
Yeah, but you've always made the point, if there is no fear, we should be feared. We should be worried.
Well, that is correct. I mean, again, in any product, in any business, if you're not watching, you're minding your P's and Q's, as I say, there's going to be a problem. And of course, unfortunately, the markets don't announce themselves and tell you when there's going to be a problem. And that's why it's always so important to be on top of your game and know what your risk is and know how to defend against that risk should it happen, which is why we always work so hard on hedging and making sure that, you know, the marketing plan is correct based on what you're going to produce and all those things. And that's where it really comes down to make sure that you always are on edge, knowing what you need to have done so that you can prepare for the future.
Excellent point. Mr. Todd Horowitz with Bubba Trading here with us. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Todd about the livestock market. Quite an interesting response to the Catalan feed report yesterday with the futures. It almost seems like there's a little bit of a disconnect.
Well, again, I think, John, one of the things, especially now, it's so quiet that, you know, markets have a tendency to price in information ahead of time. So, again, it was no real surprise. I was hoping, against hope, that we would see a lower opening. As you saw from my text yesterday morning, I was looking for a lower opening, and I was hoping they would kind of cream them a little bit so they could have a better bounce. But, of course, all the best laid plans of mice and men, right, it didn't work out, and we went straight up. And, of course, that may or may not continue today. I think that, you know, I do believe, as you know, that the bottoms are in any ways in the cattle markets. And, you know, in fats have been really strong and holding up well. Feeders needed a little work, but they might have now, you know, found that bottom with that disastrous week they saw last week, which was down, I think, every day. So I think we're in a great spot, at least for the next few months. There is some problems with the overall pattern, as we know, is typically we get to June and August and fats, they get a little weaker. So that might be a little bit of an issue. But overall, I think that these are going to be great products, and I think that it's going to be a good year for farmers and producers who, you know, using livestock. So I think that looked really good.
You mentioned that feeder cattle market. It went all the way down, tested, what was it, 138, 139, somewhere in that region on some of the deferred contracts. And I think it might have gotten all the way down to 139, the upper 139s, or maybe low 140s there on the nearby January contract last week. So, as you mentioned, a great opportunity to jump in here now if this is truly toward the end of the bottom.
Yeah, and I think it is. I think that, you know, we were actually looking for 146 to 148. And of course, we blew through there like a hot knife through butter. And again, I think that this is part of learning the market action versus the actual news that surrounds the market and what's going on. I think this is where there's a lot of disconnect between, you know, farmers, producers, and understanding how the actual markets contend and trade. And I think there's a lot that goes on throughout, you know, the banking industry and through everything else that forces prices somewhere where they don't belong. And it's being able to understand that the emotion that others are using to create those positions. And here's why I say you look for good solid levels. And, you know, I thought 146 wouldn't go lower than that. We actually made it down to like 140. So now I'm just looking for a spot to get back in and buy and, you know, look for them to build themselves back up, because I'm certainly thinking that 160 is coming back into play before it's all said and done.
That's interesting. So if that's the case, where does that leave the live cattle?
I think live cattle is going to make a run at the highs of, you know, almost 130 would be my guess. I mean, we got up to, you know, 128 in this contract, and I think we're going to at least test that. I mean, the bottom looks really solid in fat cattle. I mean, you've got, you know, successive rounding bottoms that look really good and are higher than the one before, which just adds more strength, which automatically brings in more buyers, whether or not they're farmers and producers or they're just speculators. The power of the pattern looks really strong, so that would bring us to believe that there's going to be a bigger move and more money coming in. And again, if we do get the breakdown in equities, which I think we're going to get as well, that'll even bring more money into this space, and that's where I think it looks to really explode.
It was kind of an interesting day yesterday on the lean hog complex. And I say that because the nearby contract was up a little over a dollar, but you go out to all the deferreds around July and August, and they were lower. And we've had a big spread between that front month and those deferreds out next summer, which yesterday we narrowed that quite a bit. We went, from what was it, a little more than a $9 spread all the way down to, $7 and $8 spread. So kind of a little bit of a shakeup here yesterday. Makes you wonder just how confident that some of these traders are that we won't start seeing a little bit of backup of pork probably next summer.
I don't know. I think they look pretty good. But of course, the whole pork complex has been really strange for almost a year now, the way that it's traded. And if you've watched, we've had some major squeezes and they spread them apart and then they cram them back together right at the end. And that's kind of what we've seen, especially the last three big expirations or the last three delivery dates have been, really strange. And I think that pattern could continue. And I think that if you look at them, I think that, in February, I think that 72 is probably top end for now, and I would think it would probably go back down to about that 66 level before I'd want to step in and buy again. But we probably will break out of this top end eventually, and when it'll happen, it's always hard to say. But again, this is just another reason. If the economy is as good as they say it is, and if everything's going to grow the way that we're being told it is, then these products should be working their way higher anyways. It should increase demand, so from a fundamental standpoint, it should become much stronger, and then the technicals look really good. So it should be a better market, but of course, that's if we're getting the truth, which is always 50-50 anyways.
good point. Mr. Todd Horowitz here with Bubba Trading, and be sure and send him an email and sign up for his text messages and his daily emails. That's what I do, and it's well worth it, folks. All right, now, don't go anywhere.
Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break.
Song was written by Fred Ebb and John Kander. Orchestrated by...
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, again, we have a constant pattern, and we've got the new year coming up, and we've got tomorrow the interview with Jared Rice from the first cryptocurrency bank, world's first cryptocurrency bank, arisebank.com. And they've got a whole pretty neat complex, I think. I can't wait to interview him later. But in the meantime, have you made any resolutions for next year? Okay, are you ready? Are you ready to go for the new year? We always tend to, again, overshoot what our expectations should be for the next year. And, I think resolutions are good if you have any intentions of keeping them. And I think one of your resolutions should be is that you're going to mind the market. You're not going to try to force your opinion down the market. You're not going to fall for the banana tailpipe. No, you're not going to fall for the phony jackasses that appear on network every day that have an edge to why you do something. So I hope that will be something that you will put as one of your goals and one of your things that you will not pay attention to anymore, because, again, they don't have your best interest at heart. As you remember, there's an old saying, nobody cares more about your money than you do. And, if somebody's on air, then usually they have an axe to grind or an angle that they're trying to get. Now, me personally, when I'm on air, I'm the only independent trader of my own money that goes on national TV, on network TV. Okay. Not that I'm trying to brag. I'm just saying that when I go on, I'm giving you my opinion. I give you right here. I give it to you. I give you the same opinion all the time. I have no interest in whether you buy or sell what I tell you to buy or sell. Whatever I give you is for your benefit, not for mine. Okay. So my point is very simple, that the advisors that go on, the brokers that go on, have a reason to give you something. And I always want you to be aware that you should not be really watching that stuff you can watch it for entertainment value. You can watch it to get general flow of the news, but the actual news A, if it's really any good, then somebody's already got it and has made the proper trade off of it. And if it's really bad news, it's already been accounted into the market. So what you need to do is you need just to be prepared for yourself. Okay. And how are you going to better invest or trade your own money to put yourself in a better position? And of course, one of those things is, I hope you're one of your, things is to be, learning how to hedge. You know, we've got a new hedging class starting on, the second Tuesday. I think it's Tuesday, January 9th. And I'm not trying to sell it to you. If you want to come, great. If not, no worries. But again, even for yourself, learn how to protect your assets. All right. You need to be able to protect yourself. Again, we could go higher. We've gone up from 6,600. So we've gone up almost four times. Okay. From six to 20, almost 25,000. It says three times plus the one that we started with. So, you know, is there ever going to be another sell off? And I wouldn't, again, if you don't want to hedge and you have money in there that you're not worried about tomorrow, then I wouldn't worry about it. All right. I mean, again, I'm telling you that the markets go up 8% year over year. So I'm not going to worry about the up impending correction unless it's going to draw on your mind emotionally. And that's the second thing that you should work on for the new year is your emotions. If you're an emotional kind of person that gets very nervous and very concerned about, you know, the money that you could lose at the time, then you need to do something about that as well. Again, decisions made in the heat of battle, decisions made from an emotional standpoint are never good. Okay? You have to be able to think clearly and logically so that you do not do the wrong things. You have to think clearly and logically so you don't fall in with the fear of the pack. All right? Now, you know, we've all made these trades, including me. Again, I am not perfect when it comes to stuff. I've made emotional decisions myself. But again, if you think back in your life at the emotional decisions you have made, I will venture to say that you will find out that 80% of them were pretty nasty and pretty wrong. And that more comes obviously into relationships because that obviously happened more often there. But I think so that should be something that you need to work on. You need to work on the type of trading you want to do for next year. Do you want to be more active? Do you want to be more passive? Okay. How do you want to get there? See, I think that instead of, you know, trying to, you know, make resolutions in New Year's, I think you should set your goals for New Year's and set what you're trying to get. And one of the things I want to remind you about is to make sure that your goals are realistic. Okay. You know, if your goal is to, you know, take 5,000 and make a million from it, that's not very realistic. You can set longer term goals, but you have to, the goals, you need to set goals on a monthly, quarterly, yearly basis and make them that they're, so they're achievable. Not that they're so easy that you basically already got it in the bag, but basically so that you can achieve them by doing what you're supposed to do and then celebrate that and then set new ones. That's one of the big problems that people have is that they have unrealistic expectations. And to me, that's another sign of trouble, you know, because again, it's like, you know, from buying lottery tickets, when you know, we get the lottery, gets so much bigger and everybody runs out and buys them. What good does it really do you? I think that's a problem. Okay. And that is not a financial plan. But I think that your goal should be, you know, you know, how much you're trying to make, and it has to be realistic. One of your goals can be how much you're going to invest. You know, how much can you put away on a regular basis? You know, it's not always what you can make. It's how you're going to handle your own personal budget and things like that. So I think, again, there's a lot of things to look at when you're getting prepared. But to make resolutions, you know, quit smoking, dieting. Look, the first year is always the time you want to own a quit smoking method and you want to own a health club. Because those are two things that go big right away. And, of course, that's how a lot of these health clubs make their money. They get all that big influx of cash in January because everybody's going to, you know, this is the year I'm going to get into shape. And, of course, they work out for a day, a week, a month, and then they're done. And then the health club's got the money. And of course, you're figuring out how not to go. You know, so we all go through this stuff. This is not new. And it's the same in trading. right? And that's why you set a trading plan up. And just a reminder, on Saturday, this Saturday, 11:30 Eastern time in the morning, we're doing our annual webinar on how to build a trading plan and how to be prepared for it. So certainly the information is on the website. If you want to go there, it's free. Again, I like to do a lot of free education. It's my goal in life to help as many people as I can learn to understand the markets. Okay. I can't guarantee anybody's going to make money because you got to be able to follow the process. But my goal is to at least educate you and give you the best opportunity to learn and make it. Okay. Now we got some football games today. Right. So, we've been rolling along and probably just a little bit over 500, but today we're going to go ahead and take the Stanford Cardinal, okay, against who the hell are they playing? The TCU, the Horned Frogs. And we're going to take the points and continue to hope to knock them dead. And in the meantime, don't forget about our highschoolinvesting.com program. We're in 300 high schools trying to help educate our youth. And hopefully you'll be able to help us as well. In the meantime, it's at patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And don't forget to download the Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm, the only station that you need. Also gives you the sporting edge, which is done by Xander. And they do a great job. The boys putting together a great show for you. And of course, tomorrow, don't forget, we've got the world's first cryptocurrency bank joining the Bubba Show on an exclusive to talk about how the banking industry is going to work in there and how things are going to go. But in the meantime, that'll do it for today. This is the Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horst. Have a great night. Have a great day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. It'll be our last show for 2017. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horst. Thanks so much, everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.